Our Savior is not in the grave anymore. He has risen indeed. Amen. Hey, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. We got an exciting story this morning. Just full of action here. The few minutes that we have here, I want to talk about two facts about the gospel that every person needs to know. Two facts that come out of here. One of them is the idea of when it comes to knowing the gospel, the truth does matter. The truth does matter. It isn't just like five different kinds of gospels, version A, you know, 101, version 102 or whatever. There is one gospel, and the truth, knowing it, matters. The second thing is when it comes to living the gospel, faith matters. So I think we can help remember those two things. When it comes to knowing the gospel, what matters? Truth. That was way too weak, class. Come on now. All right, when it comes to knowing the gospel, what matters? Truth matters. When it comes to living the gospel, what matters? Faith. All right, so that was the big ideas. You got them? You got them. See, we could pray and go. Well, not quite. We want to get into the word a little bit. All right, well, let's jump right in verse 16. So as we were going, this is Paul, or Luke actually is writing all this, but Luke's part of this group. As we were going to the place of prayer, what's that about? Well, if you read, there wasn't a synagogue where they were at. They had already been taken from where they wanted to go. They're trying to get to Indianapolis, and God says, no, you got to go to Chicago. They're like, I don't like Chicago. They didn't really say that, but I mean, it was one of those deals where God took them somewhere else. So they went to Philippi. That was the name of the city, not Chicago. And they were trying to find a place to worship. I hope when you go on vacation, I hope you take a vacation, you always look for a place of worship. We got to worship the Lord. It doesn't matter that you and I are on vacation. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, no matter where we're at. Amen? So there's a places you could try. I know you could try out something, and it may not be, you know, your cup of tea, or it might be something different. That's all right. Serving and worshiping the Lord. So that's what they're doing. But according to the Jewish law, remember, how many men did it take to be able to even have a synagogue? Remember? 10. I don't know if they didn't have 10. I'm assuming they didn't. Or there just wasn't 10 guys that were willing to start a synagogue. So, as is custom, Paul says, well, I know where they're meeting. I know where those guys are at. They're down by the river. So he's going to go down the river. And that's where he meets some ladies, and he meets this wonderful lady who worships God named Lydia, but hasn't heard the gospel fully, but she's a worshiper of God. It's so cool how God directs our paths. He says in his words, if you seek me, you will find me. Why is that? Well, Lydia was seeking him, worshiping him, but she hadn't connected with him through Christ. Paul gives her the gospel. She says, that's it. That's what I was looking for. And trust, and they have this great conversion. Okay, so now, as we're going to the place of prayer, they're going down there again. We were met by a slave girl. All right, I don't know a whole lot about slave girls other than the sense that there's probably a couple reasons why she was a slave. One big reason you became a slave is because you happened to be conquered by somebody else. So that's what happens. That's a big one. Or maybe your parents were slaves, and so you were born into slavery. There could be a variety of reasons. We have this slave girl, it says, and she had a spirit of divination. We're going to get into that in a minute, okay? This is the real witches and warlock sort of thing going on here. And apparently, it says here, brought her owners much gain. By doing what? Fortune telling. Yeah. All right, so she followed Paul and us. This is Luke talking. Crying out, are you ready? These men. That's the girl, slave girl, right? These men. Probably too distracted. These men are servants of the Most High who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Is that true? Oh, come on now. All right. I'm going to sing a solo up here if you don't start amen in a little bit more. All right, so we have them proclaimed. That's true. And this she kept doing for many days. Many days. I'm not sure what the many is, but you could fill that number in yourself. And after she did this, Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. All right, so this is interesting. All right, it really is. Come on now, you got to think about it. So here he is. They're doing ministry. And the slave girl's behind them yelling this thing out. These are servants of the great man of God. You know, listen to them sort of thing. Now, that may seem like a good thing. But it really annoyed Paul. He was really getting tired of it. Now, how many of you have ever been annoyed by somebody? Anybody? Yeah, I was good at annoying my mother sometimes growing up. And I knew she hated to be tickled, so guess what I love to do? Yeah, tickle her. Now, my mom was kind enough to give me the warning or the shadow of the bow warning because I knew her feet were especially ticklish. So I'd tickle her feet, and she'd say, Keith, stop that. I'm going to kick you. I'm like, oh, Mom, you're so silly. And I just keep doing it. You know what that lady did? She kicked me. I said, Mom, you could have broken my hand, my arm. I could have been wounded forever. Hey, she was getting annoyed. Apparently, this lady yelling this annoyed him. Now, the question is why? She was speaking truth. Well, there's several reasons people have tried to come up with as to why exactly, you know. We don't know exactly why. We're going to get into that in a minute. So we're going to put that on pause, and we're going to talk about this first thing about the spirit of divination, because that actually helps us with the answer a little bit. So I'm just going to back up just a minute. We got to talk about it. Spirit of divination. All right, what in the world? So these are the folks. They've been around for thousands of years, and they are what we would call soothsayers, fortune tellers. Actually, the word that's used here actually came from Greek mythology. I don't want to get into all the things about Apollos, but apparently he possessed a python, a snake, and the snake was able to do fortune telling. And if you had the spirit of that snake, then you were a fortune teller. And apparently that was the kind of the word. They were able to predict the future. That's what they said, at least, okay? We need to understand that. That's what they claimed. Now, the question really comes for us. So then, are there spirits? Are there spirits, evil spirits, that can actually predict the future? All right, I'm gonna give you the answer up front, and then I'm going to walk through it and the reasons why. The biblical answer is no, they cannot. There's no evidence of that in the Bible. Now, there's evidence of them saying things, but there's no evidence of actually for you to come to them and say, okay, this is going to happen to you, this is going to happen to you, this is going to happen in the Bible. I know there's stories. I get it. But we take our authority from the Word of God, okay? There's no evidence that we find in here. But we do find them. Oh, yeah. How many of you remember the Witch of Endor? Okay, it's not Endora on Bewitched. All right, I don't know if that's the reason they named her that. But anyway, so it's Endor. Yeah, the Witch of Endor. She was one of those. Now, the king had purged, well, before Saul. Saul was supposedly had purged a lot of the witches but not all of them. So she was, I guess everybody knew where she was. It's sort of like you know, when we have prohibition, everyone knew that liquor was illegal, but apparently everybody knew where to get it, right? Because that's where they went back in the days when it had prohibition. They couldn't do that. So we have the same thing here. They know where to go. So Saul goes to the Witch of Endor. And he asks for her to raise the spirit of Samuel. You remember that? Now, this is interesting. If you read the story, she does whatever she does, and guess what happens? Here comes the spirit of Samuel. Now, here's the thing. She was shocked. You mean that worked? Kind of a thing. She was blown away. She was terrified. She said, whoa, that really is Samuel. Man, what in the world's going on? So she was actually surprised that any of this was going on. Well, why? What's going on here? Well, Satan is a deceiver. He likes to kind of mimic and make something look Christian, something look spiritual, but really it's deception is what it is. It looks like Christianity. It smells like Christianity. It might even taste like Christianity. But, folks, it is not Christianity. And so he's really good at that. And so I think the witch here was kind of taken back with surprise a little bit. And so Satan uses deceptions and lies, and so do these spirits as well. We also have here, of course, in Acts 6:16. Now, of this particular slave girl who does it, what are they doing? Well, I can only relate it back a little bit to what's happening in modern day. I could go to the Asia area in Mongolia, I'm familiar with, where that is a very active part of their culture, of what they do. A majority of them would follow shamanistic beliefs. A shaman is someone who would be an intermediary between you and the spirit world. And if you're scared about something, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, or you have a problem, or you have an illness, there's a variety of reasons, you would go to this shaman, and you ought to look up the pictures of them. Oh my, they're kind of scary looking when they get all their garb on. And you would talk to them, and they would go through their rituals to contact their Samuel, so to speak. They actually believe, by the way, this is interesting, this is fascinating, Jesus to them is a shaman themselves who's actually got nirvana. And so he could be one of the people you call upon. Is that a weird thing to have a shamanist to call upon the name of Jesus to help intermediate? I mean, it's weird stuff. You talk about syncretism, which we'll get in a second. That's in full force. So they would come there, and they come and they ask for that. And why do the people do it? I'll tell you why. Same thing has happened in the New Testament, same thing today. People don't change. We know that. They do it out of fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of their circumstances. They're scared to death of what may or may not happen. You should. These people will go for anything. In fact, they're so sucked into it, they have other means by which they try to predict the future. You can get online. I wouldn't order one. It's not worth it. I think I have a copy of one somewhere because someone gave it to me. It's the Buddhistic calendar. Anyone seen a Buddhistic calendar? Now, the Buddhistic calendar is like a horoscope. It's what it is. What do they do with this thing? They use it for everything. In fact, some of them, it's kind of funny. You're going to say, that's not true. Look it up. It's true. If you need to know what day you need to fly to go see somebody, you better check the calendar to find the best day for you to fly. If you need to know what day, are you ready to get your hair cut? It's on there. They'll look. They'll say, wait. A guy was testifying. It says, yeah, that person would say, I need to get my hair cut. What's a good day for me to do that? And they go look it up. Say, Thursday's the best day for me to go. That's what it says. How about this? When to sharpen your knives. Yeah, and we're scratching our heads, but there's things that we sometimes do too. In America, people are sometimes are really hung on their horoscopes themselves. So we have this going on here, and the prediction of the future and trying to understand what's going to happen to me. Now, here's the thing. Because of that, and this girl is doing that, she's involved in an occult activity. We need to understand what does the Bible have to say about it, not those what Keith has to say about it. Here's a couple of verses for you. The Bible is very clear, everybody. Stay away from the occult. Got it? Everybody got an amen on that? Woohoo! Okay, yes, stay away from the occult. I know it's around us. I know you interact with it. But as far as you have to, because people are involved in it, but you stay away from it. Luke 19:31 says this, do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Those are the ones that would be the intermediaries between the spirit world and the real world. So stay away from those folks. And do not seek them out so that they may make yourselves unclean by them, for I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 18, love it. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering. Oh, anybody have a problem with that? Ugh. Or anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes. Sorry, fortune telling's out. Or interprets omens or sorcerers or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer again. Or one who inquires of the dead, which is basically a necromancer. For whoever does these things, get it, is an abomination to the Lord. Why? Well, there's lots of reasons, but I think number one, you're not trusting in the name of the Lord your God. You're trusting in something else. You're trusting in chariots. You're trusting in horses. Now, some do that, don't they? But that's not us. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. It is He. So we have this going on. I think if you think now, I'll get to that. Let me talk about what Jesus said about it. This is interesting. We need to stay away from people that are involved in these sort of things. So Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders. Are you ready for this? And He says in John 8:44, you religious leaders are like your father the devil. Ouch. And your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So he's basically saying, look, those who are practicing these things, part of these things, are part following the one who invented the whole thing to begin with, the occult, Satan himself. Listen, guys, he's a liar. He's very good at it. He can fool Christians if they're not walking in the Spirit, if they're not reading the Word and staying close to it. You can be fooled by their teachings. Sometimes they even come in the form of Christian teachers, folks. I'm just speaking the truth there. There could be those who could stand up behind a pulpit and beat away at the Word of God, but their mission has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has to do with deceiving the body of Christ. Deceiving people to stay away from Christ by giving good stories or saying, you know, work hard, do the best you can, when what they need to know is what Pastor Brian and what we had just talked about need to hear, is that it is by faith we're saved. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ because it is His blood and His sacrifice, death, burial, and resurrection that brings salvation. It's not our works. We can't bring that. We bring nothing to God. I've recently talked with people that is really great people that I care about, and they're working really hard hoping that God will accept them. That's a false message. And so we have that going on here. So anyway, Jesus describing that. Here's another reason as well that we need to avoid that, because Satan, by the way, you do know Satan is limited in knowledge and power. He's limited in knowledge and power. He can't do anything to you if God doesn't allow it. Just go read the book of Job. I love those first few chapters, don't you? I love that scene where he's running to the throne of God and God says, hey, what's going on? It almost sounds like they're friends. What have you been doing? And he tells him what he's been doing. He says, have you noticed my servant, the Lord says. And Job, you know the story where he says, yeah. But then he realizes in that whole narrative here, you start to pick up the idea that Satan knows he's got to get permission to do anything. He's not all powerful. He is not all knowing. But I got a verse to help you with that. Because the Lord says this, the Bible says this about the Lord in Isaiah 46. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. That's who I am. I am the sovereign Lord who speaks, knows and speaks truth. And you need to follow me. So we have this going on. Why did I give all that background and get back to the original answer? Because I think it's important. Because it was Paul that was irritated, right? You remember Paul was irritated? Anybody irritated yet? Anybody need to be tickled? Why was he so irritated? Well, you know, I guess it could be irritating to have someone follow you all the time, poking you or yelling in your ear while you're trying to do something. Okay, that could be irritating. I think Paul did not like the idea of her agreeing with him. That was what was irritating. Think about it. She's agreeing with him. You say, what's wrong with that? Because she's trying to syncretize her belief system with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't think that way. You think, well, it's okay. Yeah, she's saying the gospel's true. But by agreeing with it and with him holding hands with her, so to speak, yeah, we agree, we're speaking the same thing. This opens the door for her lies and deceptions that she can bring about when Paul moves on to the next town. He had nothing to do with that. Now, I don't follow that lady, and I don't really want her to try to support me. I don't want to be endorsed, you know, by certain... I would hate for our church, and I hope we would never want to be endorsed by certain organizations in our own country. Amen? That would be bad. All these people... No. Not if they're not acknowledging that Christ is the Lord God, the Savior of the world, and all that. No. I want nothing to do with that. I'm not going to do that. So Paul says, I've had it with that. I'm not going to let her associate herself with me. So he says, and he casts the demon out. Now, there's authority, my friend. There's authority. You want authority? You want authority with power, sovereignty? Go to the Lord your God. That's what Paul did. He went to the Lord. The Lord heard his prayer, answered it. And she, being a slave girl, spiritually, no longer a slave. Isn't that awesome? No longer a slave. Why? Because she followed the Lord her God. So now we got this syncretism thing happening here, and he says, I want nothing to do with it. Maybe y'all remember too, it was a couple weeks ago, that one of the things, even in the Christian church, and I think I said this just 2 weeks ago, so I'm sure you remember it. It's kind of a dangerous thing, is that because of the mixing of all these religions in their head, and now they're trusting Jesus, and that is awesome, by the way, but things got to get filtered through. You work out what's truth and what isn't truth. And for them and their religion, objects carry power. You hear what I'm saying? Objects carry power. Now, even in America today, in the New Age movement, they have the same philosophy. You ever see people with crystals? Why do they have this? Because to them, they're carrying some kind of spiritual power to get something done. There's no power in that crystal. There's nothing about it. But what happens in the Christian churches? We have men and women grabbing their Bibles. Is there anything wrong with grabbing your Bible? Come on now, I got one person answering me. I need more engagement here. I'm going to have a quiz. You're going to be my first one up on the stage. I'm going to ask all the Bible questions. All right. So here we got, we got people grabbing their Bibles. Not for spiritual reasons in the sense that you and I think, but because they have carried in their belief that if I hold on to this, I'm going to have special spiritual entrance and power into God. You see the problem with that? It's not scriptural. I want to be careful here, but I want you to understand me. We do not worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. Amen? So we have to be careful about that. Now, I know that seems like it's not a big deal. And maybe in the big scope of things, of other things they have to deal with, probably it's down the line, but it is a problem that has to be dealt with. It. We don't have those kind of things. So I think he just cast it out and said, okay, I'm done with that. So our first big idea, remember, was that when it comes to knowing the gospel, truth does matter. We need to know the truth. And what is the gospel? What is the good news? It's all about Christ. Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. It was Christ who was buried and raised again the third day, according to the scripture. And it is by faith in him and him alone where a person transfers from death to life. That's the good news. So if you're trying to earn your way by doing that and this and everything else, that is not the gospel. You need to know. But you might be here today and maybe you believe in God and maybe you even understand what God did, Jesus did, but if you have not yourself transferred your trust from whatever it is you're trusting in to Jesus Christ alone, there's no way that you've gone from death to life. You are not saved. That's not me saying, that's the authority of the Word of God. For it is by grace we're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. All right, so that's the gospel. Truth matters. And that's one of the things Paul's running across here. So we see that coming out in this story. That connects to the next one. We have to go real fast here. This is really good, and it's a fun one. I'm not going to take the time to read it because it's a long passage, but it's the story about the Philippian jailer. So what happens here, By the way, the big idea is when it comes to living the gospel, what matters? Faith matters. Knowing the gospel, truth matters. Living the gospel, faith matters. So you're going to need a lot of faith. All right, you're going to need a lot of faith if you walk the Christian life. You're going to need it because there are so many things. We trip over ourselves, number one, and so many other things that can get in the way. We need lots of faith as we walk. And this is going to just hit this whole story. So because the slave girl lost her ability and the demon was gone, they lost money. You can read that in the text this afternoon or during lunch. And so they lost money. They were upset. They dragged Paul and Silas. They didn't drag Luke, all right? And they didn't drag Timothy because they weren't, in their minds, the Jews. They were Gentiles. They dragged Paul and Silas, who were Jews. They said, these Jews guys, they're bringing stuff they're not supposed to do. And basically the idea is they're just mad. They're losing money. Okay, nobody likes to lose money. I guess we could say even to that. It's not, I mean, nobody likes to lose money, but man, these guys are going over the top with it, and they're angry. And so they falsely accuse them of so many things, and they throw them in prison. And let's just jump in just a few verses here. It's so good. So here they are, they're ministering to, get this, come on, they're ministering to Jesus, they're doing his will, they're standing up, and they end up in prison. All right, here we go. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. We can stop right there. All right, I don't know about you, but I'm not always my first go-to when things are really bad in my life is singing a hymn to God. It probably should be. And this is a great example of it. So that's why that second part of this big idea is so important. That if we're going to be able to live the gospel, faith matters. Their faith is like a child in the sense they're trusting the Lord their God. And he knows where they're at. He's not off somewhere other galaxy. And they can sing. It's good. Because they can't mess with me. You think that Paul may have known the story of Job? Probably. You know? And all the patriarchs? Probably. So they're just sitting there saying, man, I don't know what's going to happen here. This is a bad situation, humanly speaking. And it doesn't look good, but guess what? God is in control. Hey, let's sing that song one more time. Then sing my soul. And so they're singing away. I love this. It says the prisoners were listening to them. Your songs in the night. You know what I mean by in the night, right? Some of you are walking through some pretty tough night moments. They are the most powerful testimonies to who God is. You have an opportunity in your pain to see. Testify the gospel. And so, as the story goes, they're singing, there's an earthquake. Ooh, you talk about power now. Forget going to the necromancer or the fortune teller. They got nothing. They can't even get it straight. I got a God who's able to shake things, and if you understood how they clamped them down, it's amazing. Not only did they shake, but their chains fell off. And the Roman jailer's normal was going to take the sword out and take care of it, because it was a matter of honor. If your prisoners escape, you better go ahead and commit suicide, because you're going to get executed anyway. So go ahead and do it. So they're about to do it, and Paul cries out with a voice, don't harm yourself, we're all here. The jailer calls for lights. He rushes in, he trembles with fear. In verse 29, Paul and Silas, and verse 30, then he brought them out and said, sirs, what's my duty to be saved? I don't know what they were singing or what they were saying. But if you read in the book of Philippians, you kind of pick up on this a little bit, right? He talks about being in and how the whole Praetorian Guard knew. Why? Because they're probably singing and they're praising and they're quoting verses. Their life is the gospel. Their life's the gospel. Is your life the gospel? Is my life the gospel? The things we say, the things we share, the things we speak about and how we sing. I'm not saying that we're walking around with a big smile all the time. Life is tough. Things hurt. We've had a funeral yesterday. We're praising God that David's the Lord in heaven, but we cry, don't we? We mourn. It hurts. And in those tears in the night, the song of God can be sung. That's what got the, that's really what gets people's attention, by the way, is the reality, the truth of your heart. You're not a perfect person, I'm not a perfect person, but man, when people see you worshiping God truly from your heart, what a testimony that is. He apparently understood something's going on. I mean, he's a Roman guy. I don't know how he got all this except through them. And they said, look, you just got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you and your household. Wow. So Paul's faith was so powerful. It mattered. It led to influence others to even think about it. So they did. And his faith was so powerful that it not only influenced the prisoners to listen, but it influenced the guard to watch what was happening. So people are listening, people are watching, but look at the believer. What's he doing? The believer is focusing on praising, not his suffering. Very difficult. So that's our challenge here. How faith matters. Praise, not in their suffering. What else is happening? He's focusing in on others' suffering and not his own. The guard's about to kill himself. The guard's anxious. He doesn't know if he's got a family. But Paul goes, no! Rather than focus on his own pain, because he's walking by faith, he gets out of himself and focuses in on others. Is that hard to do? Does anyone have a hard time with that other than me? But that's what faith does. When it comes to living the Christian life, you know, living the gospel, faith matters. How you live. We don't sit there and focus, oh, poor, suffering me. We praise God, knowing that we bring our requests to him. We share with him those things he wants to hear, but we're praising the Lord because we trust him. But then we don't just sit there and think about all our problems and how we got to solve them. Paul could have done that and ran out of there. He focused on others. That takes faith. That doesn't come naturally, but God can give it to you. And then what I love as well is their faith not only brought them to worship, their faith brought them to focus on the right thing, but their faith led them to sharing, and they influenced the guard. So here's just an encouragement. I love it when we walk and we live and we act right at work, in school, and all those things. And you need to keep doing that. But listen to this. Listen carefully. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must take the next step. We ought to continue to live as we ought. We ought to do righteous things, but we must share the gospel of Christ. Got to do it. It's not just for pastors. I'm part of this group. We all share as God gives us opportunities. And so that makes it really an interesting story. And now we have this power thing going on. The occult or God? What did they do? Nothing. They got cast out. They're out of the picture. What did God do? He allowed his servants to be taken to this place so that he could reach this family for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this family now, who knows their story? I can't wait to read it in heaven. What happened with them? What influence did he now have? How about your own life? I bet you have the same things. It may not be something that is in your generation. Maybe you were born in a Christian family like I was. But I know my story a little bit further because my father was not a believer. And someone took the time to share Jesus, the gospel. And that impacted four boys that he had. And then that impacts other people. It's amazing. And so I want to end with this because we need to stop right here. This is an exciting story about power struggles, but there is no power struggle, my friend. There's only one source of power, and that is God Almighty. And his son, through Jesus Christ, you could have that power. What, for my own purposes? Absolutely not. For his glory and for his mission. He can meet you where you are. He may leave you in that prison. Some of you are still in prison, suffering. Well, then start looking around. Start singing because God's got you there to help somebody. There might be a prison guard you need to lead to Jesus. And who knows that that prison guard is going to be used then to lead someone else to Christ. God does it that way. So let your your voice in the darkness motivate and drive you to sing your songs of the night and praise to God. And your voice is going to make a big difference. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of this ministry of the gospel at this time. It's exciting, Lord, to see what you are doing amongst us. And Lord, I imagine there's people here that don't think that the little things that we do matter, but they make a big difference. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us. Help us to realize that we have opportunities in our deepest, darkest times to be able to share and sing and focus on those that you bring into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, he was a young widower on the Titanic, and he had a six-year-old daughter named Annie, and there was a sister that was with him, and he was asked to come to the Moody Church to preach. He had done it before. So on that night of April the 14th, when the accident took place, he took his sister and he took his only daughter and he put them in boat number 11. I followed that part of the story. Boat number 11. And making sure that they were safe, and he gets back on. What does he do? He spends his time helping people, calming them down, praying, but most of the time he spends it sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, telling them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Over and over again, he's giving life jackets away. Gives his life jackets away. Life jackets not going to do any good in 20 degree water or whatever it was, but he just has this servant heart. And here's the cool thing. Even as the ship's going down, and you can read about this, you look it up, read the whole story, you'll enjoy it. As the ship's going down, and now he's actually survives it going down. That's a whole other story. So he's floating. I would imagine that's pretty cold, okay? He is still preaching the gospel. He's swimming to people, sharing faith with them. He finds something to float on, helps them be alive a little longer. He even mentions to this guy like twice. He doesn't even know why it's so dark out there. He's just sharing Jesus. And here's the cool thing. The cool thing is not he ends up dying, but he ends up dying. And they had a reunion like several years later of all the survivors. You know what one of the stories was about? This person gets up and says, let me tell you, this is what happened. In the darkest time, I heard this voice of this guy. And he was saying something about Jesus Christ. And that if you trust in him, he will save you from your sins. You can have eternal life. This is not the end. And I trusted him as my Savior. That's the power of your voice in those dark nights. You can, and you do have a testimony. And every Christian has a testimony if they know Jesus as their Savior. Use your voice for him. Let's stand and sing together.